Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 150, stanzas 1 through 4, O God, and give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 24. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 24. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, and we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object, if they had aught against me. Or else, let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, and that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them, and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, and that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews pleasure, left Paul bound. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen, who were blessed with the birth of a well-born boy in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-glorious and majestic, all-sufficient God, dwelling in the heavens, whereof we have no impression, no conception, wherein thou dost dwell with all thy people, who may have departed already, and with the holy beings, the heavenly angels, the hosts, that do gather round about thy throne, and thou art so above all the misery and all the wretchedness and all the sin and all the iniquity, the pollution that is here below. Lord, thou art holy, and in thy place can no sin dwell, for thou canst not dwell with it. And we, with our children, we do live under all the effects of our fall, and that fall written on within our hearts, on all that we think and say and do. Lord, thou knowest that from which we need to be delivered, and from which we cannot deliver ourselves. And thou hast instituted a church and a ministry in this world, which is the closest and that a man can come to those things that are holy, and to that place wherein thou dost dwell. A Sabbath day, a day wherein we may be permitted and commanded to lay aside all that is temporal and all that is for this life, and that we may consider that which is eternal. That place where thou dost dwell, the glory and the height in which we have been created, the reality of our own sin and guilt and our fall from thee. Lord, that we also may hear of that which thou hast done to deliver such out of that awful state in which we have brought ourselves, that pit, that horrible pit of miry clay, out of which we cannot come except that there is a Savior, except there is a Redeemer. Lord, look on us then, and through him whom thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And it is all accomplished, from thy side finished, so that there is nothing standing in the way anymore for thy Spirit to go forth in the midst of this sin-cursed world and to gather them from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and to bring them in to quicken them from the dead and to give them life, to give them hunger and thirst after the things which are spiritual, to give a desire to return unto our Maker and our Creator and our former purpose, to make all things here below to wax away in the estimation of the heart, that the things which are above may be the treasure that is living within. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, O, could it please Thee then in this Thy holy day to bless Thy institution, that Thou may instruct us each and every one in that a hard truth, the reality of our life, and that state in which we are, and that awful condition, and cause us to cry out from under our wretchedness for a mediator and a redeemer for our poor souls. Lord, what is our only hope? When Thou commandest us in Thy word, Thou dost show unto us what is our responsibility. But with it we can only condemn ourselves, and with it we will only be condemned by Thee. For there is no power, and there is no life, and there is no movement, there is no breath. O Lord, we are dependent. We do look up unto Thee in this morning hour, in the beginning of Thy day and of these services in Thy house, to beseech Thee, to ask of Thee, Lord, to beg of Thee a moment, and that it may yet be the day of Thy good pleasure. O, known by Thee from eternity, appointed by Thee to be the day and the time when this one or that one must be stopped upon our way and must be converted unto Thee and must be born again, wherein the eyes shall go opened, that we shall see, the ears unstopped that we might hear, the heart broken and made contrite, which is to be received by Thee. Lord, look upon us each and every one. Oh, remember Thy children. Lord, Thou knowest the way in which Thou leadest them. And it is Thy hand which does lead them, though they do often fear that they go their own way. Lord, it is a day of rest, a rest that Thou hast reserved for the people of the Lord. Let that people then see it. Oh, give them to experience it just for a moment, because it is one day out of the seven, and here below is not their land of rest. No, it is a warfare, and it is not yet a church triumphant. But Lord, Thou dost give those moments, those little moments of that rest, that they may enter into Thy rest, and that they may see it, and that they may feel it, and that they may be given to experience just a little bit what this mortal and corrupt body, the flesh, is yet able to endure here below. And may it be in the midst of all the wretchedness and all the misery that they have to experience concerning themselves, Lord, that there in their eye may be directed to Thy only begotten Son for a moment, Now wilt thou remember each and every one, those that are not able to gather with us. And thou knowest the cause. Supply for all the afflicted and the weak, all those that have become old, those that are sick and afflicted, those that are in the nursing homes. Lord, supply for them in old age, in all the cares and all the needs of body and of soul together. Those that have stood in the day of yesterday by that open grave. Lord, comfort as thou alone art able. Remember also our own children that have been blessed with the birth of a child again. Lord, that it may yet be a child born to be born again. And could it please thee to humble the hearts of our children under thy many, many blessings, which are so undeserved. Lord, give them to feel it, and what is necessary, give them also to mother and child the strength also again of the body. And wilt thou look upon parents, all of us together, in that great work. Oh, give us to feel something continually of our responsibility. Oh, that we could not do it alone. And that we may be found upon our knees with these gifts that thou dost give us. And with the responsibility that is too heavy for our shoulders. When we would try to bear it without thee. Lord, guide our children and our youth. Oh, do keep them with thy truth. Do show unto them, open their eyes, for the blessedness of thy people and of thy kingdom, and that in the days of their youth they may remember their Creator, and that thy house also may be filled with young and old together. Lord, remember our brother elder that is serving in Calgary in this day. Help him too. And wilt thou supply thy spirit in a rich measure to them and us, thy servant who labors in our sister congregation in this day in an unexpected way. Help him on the right and on the left. Stand for him and look upon all thy servants. Help us, Lord, to bring thy word this day. And when we do stand before it again, and when there is nothing, or when there is nothing that we can give to one person in our midst, oh, then we are so dependent upon thee, who knowest their hearts, to take from us what is from ourself, and to give us a word from above. To bless it, to sanctify it, to bring it in the heart, as thou alone art able to do. Oh, we ask it of thee in the forgiveness of our many, many sins, taking reasons out of thyself and thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163 all stanzas. O Lord my God, most earnestly in my heart would seek thy face, and within thy holy house once more to see in thy glorious grace. And what follows? The last collection today is for our school. We announce also that the Lord's Supper will not be administered as previously announced. Please look for an announcement in a future bulletin. Psalter 163, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour, you can find in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Acts chapter 24 and thereof the 25th verse. Acts 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." So far, the words of our text. Our theme is Felix postpones. First, he sends Paul away for the present time. And second, he promises to call Paul back at a convenient season. Felix postpones. First, he sends Paul away for the present time. Second, he promises to call Paul back at a convenient season. Go thy way. Who is it that is speaking? That is Felix, Roman procurator of Judea, appointed by Emperor Claudius in AD 53. Go thy way. And to whom does he speak? He speaks to God's servant. He speaks to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle who is now standing before him. And he sends him away. And tells him that he must now go out of his presence. Go thy way. And where does he send him? He sends him back to house arrest. He is a prisoner. But we read he is given liberty. And he is not forbidden that any of his acquaintance may come unto him. Go thy way. What are the circumstances? Paul has been preaching. He has been preaching to this heathen man. Well, Paul has been sent to the heathen. Yes, indeed, and the Lord, he has given an opportunity that he may preach to this heathen man, even here in his own country. And we know the history. Because after that, the Apostle Paul has been in Asia, then he has desired that he may be in Jerusalem again for that day of Pentecost. And then it was known unto him that bonds and afflictions did await him. Then it was the Holy Spirit of the Lord who has shown unto his friends, the other disciples. But we can read also by prophecy through Agabus that Paul is warned that when he will go up unto Jerusalem, that awaiting for him there were afflictions. But what do we read? And that none of these things moved Paul. But that Paul, he is ready to go forward for the sake of the Lord and for his kingdom. And that he is taking leave of all of his friends, knowing that they shall see his face no more. And indeed, so it happened. We know that he came into Jerusalem and that he comes there into the temple and that a tumult was made and that Paul, he is taken into custody and Paul is brought down to Caesarea and there he is standing and before Felix, the governor. Thus the circumstances. And yet, congregation, we are not yet there. These are not yet these circumstances wherein Paul is here standing at this moment. Because Paul, he is not standing in this moment officially before his judge, before Felix. No, he has stood there. He has stood in that judgment hall. He has stood with his accusers and with Tertullus, the orator. And they have brought their witnesses. And we can read that Paul was given also to speak, to answer for himself. And that with a good conscience. May we do that too. When we would have to stand in the judgment in the midst of this world. And when we see all the accusations. And then Paul, he can stand and he can say with a clear conscience. Neither can they prove those things whereof they now accuse me. But this case that has been deferred. And why? Because Felix desires that there may be some more witnesses. Thus, he is going to send a message to Lysias, the chief captain, and he is going to wait until Lysias will come down, and that he may know the truth now of these matters, what Paul is saying, or what Tertullus is saying, who is now speaking right. Do we do that too, fathers and mothers? And when our children, they come to us, and when there is a disagreement between them, do we then just put it off, or are we looking at that we are ascertaining what is now the truth of what our children are saying? Thus, in this sense, Felix, he does what is right. And what is the duty of everyone who is given a place of judgment in this world? That is us as parents, that is us as consistory, that is those who are on the judgment seats in our nation. But this case that has been postponed, and so Felix is waiting. But when he is waiting, in the meantime, it seems that Felix has gone and that he has spoken unto his wife. And he has said to her and what has taken place, and what Tertullus has spoken and what the apostle Paul has spoken. Who is his wife? His wife's name is Drusilla. We read she is a Jewess. She is the daughter of Herod Agrippa I. That was the man, the wicked man, who has not given God the honor. And we can read in God's word that he was eaten of worms. His daughter was no better, nor his son-in-law, Felix. He is now married for the third time unto Drusilla. But Drusilla was already married. Thus, he has persuaded Drusilla and that she would leave her first husband and that she would come to marry him. Thus she is a licentious woman. She is at this time only 17 years old. Her first marriage at 14, and now she is 17. Drusilla, she is also the hated and the envied sister of Bernice and of King Agrippa. Thus, if we will go to the next chapter and consider what has taken place 2 years later, then we will read that her sister Bernice, she also will listen to the Apostle Paul. And Bernice was not married to King Agrippa, but King Agrippa was actually her brother, with whom that she has lived entirely too closely. Thus we can read of this wicked family and of these licentious women. And now being married to a Jewess, then we can understand what it says in the Bible, that Felix, he has, we read, more perfect knowledge of that way that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here, that way of Christianity, and that argument that Paul is having with the Jews because she was a Jewess. And being a Jewess, then we can understand that this case of Paul also has very much the interest of Drusilla. And Drusilla desires that she may hear him. And thus, we can read, it is arranged. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. What circumstances God's servants sometimes called to preach under. Sometimes there are those that do come up with hunger, with a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst and a desire. They may hear the word of the Lord. Is that so with you? So it was with the Lord Jesus also. And then there are others. There are others that are coming in judgment. They are coming to hear in order to criticize. They are coming to hear in order that they may mock. And so we can read it. Also hear of this Drusilla. But now of all of these God's servants, they do not know in all those circumstances what the Lord is going to do with his own word. And whether that word is going to be for a blessing or for judgment. Whether that will be for life or for death. But where does Paul begin? Then we read it. When he will speak of the faith in Christ, then we read as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Thus he begins by reasoning about righteousness. What is that? Righteousness. That is right and wrong. And where do we find, children, what is right and wrong? We have read it together every Sabbath, the law of God. And thus here the Apostle Paul begins. And when he will reason of righteousness, then it is necessary for him to begin to go from commandment to commandment. And then he must speak about thou shalt not commit adultery. And then he must speak about a thou shalt not steal. Or what is the law? The law that is the schoolmaster unto Christ. Paul knows that. Paul knows it from his own life, that there is no place for that faith in Christ except that he will begin first to reason about righteousness, because by that law is the knowledge of sin. Thus, he begins, and he reasoned of righteousness. Paul, do you not think that you ought to be more careful? Paul, do you not realize before whom that you are standing? Oh, Paul, do you not realize that this man is your judge? That this man, he has power, that he has power to condemn you, and that he has power to release you? And will you begin to set forth before this man his whole life and before his wife? And will you begin to set all their sin and all their iniquity before their eyes? And as he reasoned of righteousness, no, he does not consider his hearers. No, he does not consider himself, nor does he turn to the right hand or to the left hand. But he goes on and on, we read, and as he reasoned of righteousness and of temperance. What is that? Temperance. That is self-control. That is the ability to master yourself, your own desires. The ability to keep your own passions under control. All the sensual appetites of your flesh. Paul, do you not think that you come a little bit too sharp? Oh, do you not think you ought to spare? Do you not think maybe you can do this in some other way? And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, they were virtues that were propagated also by the heathen philosophers, by the heathen moralists. Thus, Felix is very acquainted with these things. But what does his life show? His life shows that he has no desire. His life shows that he has a desire to walk in a completely different way. And now he will come to listen. He will come to listen about faith in Christ. What is that new religion that this apostle preaches? Or is it now possible that if he would follow in such a way that he may somehow receive a little freedom, that he may live on in his life the way that his own heart desires? Oh no. What does Paul do? He begins to reason immediately of righteousness and of temperance. No, no, Felix. No, this is not a way wherein the desires of your heart, they may be lived out to all your heart's content. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, what does he do? He reasons about the judgment day. He says, Felix, Drusilla, there is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day when you will have to give an account of yourself. You are a judge in this land, but there is coming a day that you also will have to stand before your own judge. Oh, he reasons
He reasons about his relation to his Maker, to his Creator, what he owed to him. He reasons about the wrath of God. He reasons about that punishment of sin, that eternal sentence that is coming also upon him. And what is the fruit? And as he reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Congregation, did you ever tremble? Did you ever come as far as Felix came? Did you ever tremble under the preaching of the law of God? Maybe we are not faithful enough. Maybe we are not bold enough. Even as the Apostle Paul, not heeding and not considering the multitude that is before us, that you do not tremble. The Lord give us faithfulness. What a wonder if we may tremble. Why? Because that means that it has not just gone by us. It means that there has been at least some effect of that holy word of God. Oh, did you ever tremble? How often is it different? How often can we just sit? We just sit and listen. And maybe that we even sit and sleep. Nothing. Nothing touches us. So that our heart is just as hard as the benches that we sit on. So that our heart, that is just like a rock, like a stone, we do not fear, we do not tremble. Thus, that preaching does not even touch our affections to make us mourn, to make us afraid. What do we not read? We do not read that Drusilla trembled. There is more trembling in this heathen man than there is in this Jewess. How often is that not the case? That we are hardened in our religion, that we have heard it so often in our life, that it does not make us to tremble. Or when his sin is pointed out, and when the finger is put on the mark, and when the judgment is threatened, then that heathen man trembles. But when her sin is pointed out, and when the finger is put on that mark, and when that judgment is threatened, then her heart that is filled with enmity. And then she especially is afraid. Or when she sees Felix trembling. No, no. No, no. This is not something that can happen. That he would now become afraid. That he would now forsake his life. And as he reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way." Thus, he sends him away. The servant of the Lord, as he is reasoning, he stops him. He has the temporal authority to do that. He says, Paul, it is enough. He does not wish to continue to hear one more word. Why not? Because it makes him tremble. Because it is bringing back to him, it is laying before his face his whole life. And he has a conscience. And we do not desire that our conscience will be stirred up. Thus, what does he say? He says, leave me be. Go thy way. And do not disturb me in the way that I am living, because I have no desire to depart from that way that I am living at the moment. Go thy way, and do not let me hear these things in my ears anymore. Why? Because it is disturbing my peace. Because when I will go on now in my way, and then my conscience is going to be speaking, and you have now just ruined everything. All my enjoyment, that I cannot go on anymore as I did before, when I had stepped, and that conscience that was quieted, and now you have worked it up into a frenzy. Go thy way. And yet we read something peculiar. What do we read? Paul makes this man, as it were, a promise. That is our second thought. He promises to call Paul back at a convenient season. He does not just say, go thy way. But he says, go thy way for this time. Thus Felix, he does not altogether dismiss the Apostle Paul, because in his conscience, then there is an acknowledgement of the truth of his word. That is even as a stranger. That is even as an heathen man that he sees, that he feels, that the Apostle Paul, that he speaks right. And our intellect, your intellect, my intellect, that is the way we have been created, with an intellect. And our intellect that does seek truth, it wants to know what is right. And it wants to know what is wrong. But after our fall, there is corruption. Thus, when that knowledge of right and wrong will cross the path of our desires, the path of our evil will, then we are willing to tell our intellect, no, we do not want to know what is right and what is wrong. And then we are willing that we would overcome, as it were, the natural desire of our intellect, that we may live out the beastly desires of our heart. Go thy way for this time. No, he does not have an intention to send him away altogether. But he says, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What does Felix do? He quiets his own conscience.
That conscience that is speaking, that conscience that is authenticating the words of the Apostle Paul that says, yes, that is right, quiets it. Because to completely reject it, that conscience will still speak to him. But when he will tell that conscience, no, I have not altogether rejected it, but I have only put it aside for the moment, and I indeed intend to come back unto it again. Go thy way. Not altogether, no, but go thy way for this time, for the present time, right now. Why? Because this time, right now, is not a good time. Right now is not the best time. Right now, that is not the most convenient time. Another time, Paul, another time will be better. Another time will be more convenient, more suitable to listen and to hear of those things that you are speaking about. And as soon, Paul, as that time comes, then I will call for thee. As soon as that time comes, then I will seek you out. And then I will sit and I will listen. And I will consider again these matters. Felix's congregation, he speaks about times and seasons. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. God has put in the heavens, children, the sun and the moon and the stars. And that sun and moon and the stars, they are for, we read, times and seasons. And so we may experience them in a natural way in this world. And so the Lord gives them in nature. There is seed time, there is harvest. The Lord also gives times and seasons of plenty and times of and seasons of not so plenty. There are times and seasons in the nations. We read that in God's word where the Lord, Daniel says, he sets up one king and he puts down another king. There are times and seasons also within the church. There were the festivals. There were the feast days. And the Lord Jesus, he says to the disciples, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Lord he has put in his own power. That is when he would come again to judge the quick and the dead. And then there are other times and seasons. There are times and seasons in the heart of the children of the Lord. David, he speaks about the night season. The night season. And how that the Lord, he did instruct him in the night season. Times and seasons. And now, there are times and seasons wherein the Lord, he comes as it were, so very, very close to a person. It is not all the same. No, there is a time, there is a season that the Lord, he has laid you perhaps in the hospital.
That was a special time, was it not? Was it not a time that you were visited by family, by friends? Special time. Special season, wherein also the Lord did come so close unto you in a natural way with his calling. Then there are times and seasons wherein a man, he must lay his beloved wife in the grave. A husband, a child. They are now times when the Lord, he comes in a special way, so very, very close to us. There are times that we may see in a manifest way that the Lord blesses our business. Joseph, all that Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. That we may feel something of the hand of the Lord in a special way in providence, or the other way around. Then there are also times and seasons in the house of the Lord. Oh, there are seasons wherein the Lord gives to his servants a special solemnity, that it may be felt in that house of the Lord. And maybe by none other but you. A time, a season, when in a special way, naturally, the Lord opens to you that you may see the goodness of the Lord. Times and seasons where the Lord shows to you his law, righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. Times and seasons wherein that last day that is set with so much reality before your eyes that you may believe it. Times and seasons where your sin that is set before your eyes, when you are sitting in that house of the Lord, and where you have to say yes, where your heart testifies against you, and maybe that you even tremble. Tremble for a moment when you think how that one day I will stand and give an answer for every thought, word, and deed before that all heart-piercing eye of that eternal judge. What a precious time. What precious seasons. Why? Because they are not happening every day. And so often it is so different in a natural way. So often that we see nothing. That even our thoughts, they cannot for a few moments be focused on these most important matters. And then such a precious moment in the house of the Lord, wherein our heart for a moment trembles. And then what do we do with it? Then we go to our place. We go to our home. And we put it away from us as quickly as possible. Because it is a trembling. And we do not like to tremble. And therefore we say to those thoughts, go thy way. Go thy way for this time. No, not forever. I know that that time that is coming, that I have to face, that I have to consider these things, but not now. Not at this time, but later. No, we are no different than Felix. No, it is the other way around. Felix, he is our picture. He is your picture. He is my picture. What a precious moment for Felix. Humanly speaking, this is as close as Felix has ever come to heaven. Humanly speaking, it is as close as Felix has ever come to true conversion. How far can it go with a person? But do you know what we never read? We never read that Felix called Paul back again to hear again of faith in Christ. Why not? Because that convenient season that he spoke of, that convenient season that he intended, never came. Let us sing 255. One, three, and four. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise. Let us only sing one and four, and for the sake of time. One and four of 255.
Thank you.
Congregation, in Acts 2, we read how that the Apostle Peter, he says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thus he speaks about the Lord calling, about the Lord coming with a powerful, irresistible, internal call. Is that not a wonder? Did that ever become a wonder to you? That the Lord, that he begins in heaven with his own thoughts to look upon a creature that is here upon this earth? Did that ever become a wonder to you? Arminius said it is not necessary. Not necessary because you have that power. You have the responsibility. Yes, we agree. But he says you also have the power because it is given to every one of God's creatures in a natural way. And now that special, that irresistible calling of the Holy Spirit that is not necessary in the life of a man. Congregation, we would like to ask you in this morning one question. That is this. If you do not feel in your heart this morning hour that Felix is your picture, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But he never did. He never did. Is that not our picture? Felix reckoned on more time. Felix reckoned on another season. Is that our picture? Or is it not? Do we reckon on more time? Do we reckon on this afternoon? Do we reckon on tomorrow? Though men fall from our sides, and though the Lord says, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, Felix not only reckoned on more time, Felix reckoned on a more convenient time. Be upright in this moment. You have not to say it to us. Be upright before the God of heaven and of earth, before your judge. Do you reckon on it also? A more convenient season, do not our little children reckon that it will be a more convenient season when they are a little older? Do you, children? Do you? When we were a teacher, there was a girl in middle school, and she came to us, and she said how she was so afraid sometimes to go to sleep. And do you know what she said? She said, my mother told me, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Oh, mothers
and fathers, do we not also think that there will be a more convenient season when our little children become a little older? Young people, you say more convenient when I am a little older, when I understand and maybe I will have a little more desire for those things, because no one, when they are this young, we are only young once. And parents, yes, maybe when we are not so busy and have so many cares with our children, and then we reckon that it will be more convenient when we are sick and laying in the hospital because we have there nothing to do. And when we are sick in the hospital, we reckon it will be more convenient when we get better again because now I am so taken up with pain and all that is happening in my body. And when I am a student, I think in the summertime because now it is so busy with my work. And in the summertime, I think in the wintertime because now, well, I am so busy with my play. And in the morning, I reckon that it will be more convenient in the evening. And in the evening, I reckon it will be more convenient in the morning. Oh, if we are honest, must we not see our picture in this heathen man, Felix? Go thy way for this time, who says, no, not right now, but promises himself, yes, that in the future, surely in the future, I will call for thee. Congregation, let us consider for a moment. When will that day come that it will be more convenient to reason about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? When do you think that you will be ready to lose a few nights of sleep over the things of eternity? Considering your maker, considering your creation, considering your fall, or when do you think that it is going to be a more convenient time and that you will desire to put away all that is earthly and that your heart may be set on those things that are above? Or when do you think that day, that convenient day, is going to come in your life when the Lord, he may wean you from all that is in this world, from enjoying all the pleasures of Egypt, and that he may lay upon you affliction and trial in order that your heart may despise these things, and that you may forsake the world, and that you may desire to leave your country and seek that heavenly Canaan? Or when do you think that day is coming that you say it will now be convenient that the Lord, he will lay a burden on your back? When will it be convenient that you may now go over this world, bow down in sorrow because of your iniquity, because of your sin? When will be convenient that you say, Lord, now thou canst open up all my iniquity, and that the Lord would cause that bitter tears of lamentation may be your food by night and by day? When shall the Lord make you like that Canaanitish woman? When shall the Lord give to you that trouble of Jairus? When? This afternoon? Tomorrow? Next week?
When will be convenient to learn to die before we have to die? When will be convenient that the Lord comes against us, sets his face against us in our business, in our family? When will be convenient that we may be born again? And that our whole world may be turned upside down for us? No, congregation, it will never be convenient. It will never be convenient. Does your heart not testify of that? It is impossible. Because our heart hates that way. And our responsibility is there, yes. Oh, we ought. But we will not. To live unto God, that is to die to ourself. And to die to myself, I will not do. Skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Fallen man, that's what we are. Fallen man. And fallen man has one hope. One hope. And what is it? It is a free, it is a one-sided, it is a sovereign work of a triune God. That is the one hope of fallen man. The one hope is that God does not wait for our convenient season, but that the Lord will come to us when it is very, very inconvenient for us. The Lord did not stop Felix. He let him go. And now Felix, righteously from the side of God, righteously from the side of God, especially when Felix this day may remember that moment that the Lord came so close to him. That Felix may this day remember that day when he trembled under the preaching of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And now it is his own fault. But the Lord, he comes unto Saul. When? Noah's not convenient. Was on his way with his work. On the way unto Damascus. And the Lord says, no more. It is enough. And he stops him. And he brings him on the ground. He brings him in the dust. And like it or not, oh, the Lord comes against him. And he makes him willing. He makes him willing in the day of his own power. Oh, what an almighty, almighty work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord in the heart of a sinner is so necessary. Not just to convince a person in a natural way. No. We can make you to tremble. We can make you to weep. We'll only testify against us. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, congregation, will we not cry unto this God? Oh, that he would have mercy,
that he would have mercy on our soul. We read of the word of the Father to the Son, that he speaks to his own Son, and he says to him, "Behold, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold," he says, "now is the day of salvation." And so his Son went forth. And so his Son has accomplished it. Everything. Everything that was necessary for the salvation of his people. And now, that Holy Spirit of the Lord giving the application even unto that end of the world. Oh, do not look. Do not look for a more convenient season, congregation, than today. Than today. But today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, stop us, stop us, stop us. O come with thy Spirit, work with might, work with power, as thou alone art able to do, and leave us not to go our own way. Forgive thou our many sins. Bless thy word. Instruct us in thy truth. Bring us safely to our homes. And with desire once again to gather in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 72. 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray. And answer me in grace oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.